Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the podcast that is not going to heckle you about how long you leave your Christmas decorations up. In fact, we will applaud you if you leave them up till June, so send us a picture of it. We are a fresh in the trenches dialogue about womanhood and motherhood from non-experts. I clearly am very non-expert. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah, also no more expert.
And we are thrilled that you are joining us today, the day after Christmas.
Yeah, if you are joining us, you're a true friend.
Yeah, and we know that you've left us a 5-star review, and we're thrilled for you.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for sharing your words with us and the world.
We hope you all had a happy holiday, whichever holiday that you celebrate, and are looking forward to a brand new year. How is 2019 looking for you, Hannah?
Positive. Pretty positive, I think. I'm excited to talk next week about some of our resolutions and like what I had in mind for 2018 and what 2019 is going to look like.
Spoiler alert, make no resolutions and then at the end of the year, you won't be disappointed and you've done
exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly. I think Kwanzaa starts on the 26th. Isn't that right? I think it is the 26th. I will fact check that. But yeah, so.
Today, I had to Google what day of Christmas is it in the 12 Days of Christmas song. I was trying to do some content writing. Well, turns out I didn't know that the 12 Days of Christmas starts on the 25th.
Oh.
And goes through January. I thought it started on the 13th and runs until Christmas, but that is not true.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that either.
I don't know anyone who celebrates that, but, you know.
Well, it sounded like a good idea for us to take one episode to talk about single topics, and then we stopped recording and didn't stop the conversation.
That's absolutely true. I listened to this in my car. I'm kind of our biggest fan. I haven't left us a review.
What?
But I interject constantly in our own conversation to be like, wait. One, Caroline, shut up and stop interrupting Hannah. Two, Hannah, let me tell you some new fresh takes I have.
Text. I don't feel like you interrupt. I think that's just the natural flow of conversation. I mean, I see that about myself sometimes.
That's Nora Beth and Anna Blair's favorite knock-knock joke right now is the interrupting Catwood.
Oh, that is hysterical. Of course it is.
Do you know that one?
I've weirdly heard it in my life.
It's weird. It's good. If you haven't, let me know. I'll call you personally and tell you that joke.
Yeah. Stay on the edge of your seats, everyone. Well, do you want to dive right in with what we've done so far this year? If you have any things to add, do you have anything on our personality test episode? That was our kickoff episode, episode one.
No, I haven't, but I don't have anything to add, though I will say I have been pleasantly surprised by the number of people who have learned their Enneagram since we talked about it and have let me know whether they strongly agree or strongly disagree with where the test puts them.
Yeah, I think it started a lot of really good conversations. My aunt ended up being exactly the same as me.
Oh, wow. Did you expect that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I wear a lot alike, I feel like. So I want to get everyone over Christmas to try and take it just so we can. Some of my family have not. So
party game for New Year's Eve. Since we're late on Christmas, whatever party you're at, have everyone stop and spend 18 minutes taking the free Enneagram test.
Exactly. That's a good call to be everyone's favorite around your party celebrations.
Which you will be if you're a two, because you're a giver.
True. Episode two was our communes episode, where we talked a little bit about our neighborhood setup, and more importantly...
Charles Manson.
Yeah, our favorite communes. So our friend Lauren, I believe, based upon your recommendation, has watched almost all of Wild Wild Country on Netflix.
As she should have. Thank you, Lauren, for listening to me. I am an influencer.
I started it. My initial thought was, why did they use this font? It looks like it belongs in a movie about the Revolutionary War.
Which, arguably, the Rajneesh kind of were over there in Oregon, starting their own revolution.
Yeah, so I guess that fits. I didn't know that it was the Duplass brothers that produced it. That was an interesting...
Oh, I didn't actually know that either.
Yeah, career move for them. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't... Huh.
Have you listened to Mark Duplass's recent episode of Armchair Expert?
No. Oh, but I should. I mean, we don't encourage listening to any podcasts other than ours.
However, if you do want to not be in our commune, you can listen to others. Dax's is one. And, you know, he doesn't mention the Wild Wild Country in it.
That's weird because they're the executive producers, Mark and Jay. Also, the midwives from the Mindy Project, if anyone is trying to place them. Also, the League.
Yeah. In which I texted David, they are real brothers. And he said, I know.
All right, so, David.
Sorry, behind on that.
Weird that you're behind on a pop culture factoid.
Yeah, super, super bizarre. Have you listened to Soulja Boy? It's very good. You know, so I don't have a lot to add to that, though I do think that there is something to be said for the emotional support that many of these people join actual communes for that can be found even in present day digital communication. This kind of falls along right. the lines of social media, mm-hmm. but I don't really know where to put this insertion. I did check out the screen time feature on iOS.
Oh, yeah.
hate it. But I spend most of my time texting. And when I look at who I'm texting, it is mom friends. Like I have this kind of virtual commune mm-hmm. That though many are from different stages of life and don't even know each other, the support that we give each other is what our physical commune provides just in emotional sense.
Oh.
So I do think if you are feeling discouraged, like, oh, I don't live in a neighborhood or I don't have somebody that lives nearby, I think you can build that support of it's okay to send a picture of your child tantruming because their shadow won't stay still.
Yeah.
And just give that kind of, like one of my best friends that I do this with lives in San Diego. So we're 3 hours apart. We actually haven't even met in real life. So stay tuned for an episode on that.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And but cool. Steve Jobs, aka Apple, is constantly telling me to text her. So apparently I text her a lot. But she is kind of a commune for me. Though we don't know each other in real life, but we share a lot of commonalities.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's funny how I think I talked in that commune episode about how I grieve the lack of like a tribal connection that mm-hmm. like humanity used to have back when people lived only 30 years. And now we're like using technology to find that connection with people across the country, across the world and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd like to start a new hashtag called Find Your Tribe. In which you tag the tribe that you found somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I just made up that hashtag. You don't have to do that. But I do feel like even before I moved into a commune, literally, I did have this really great found commune that they may not know each other. And actually, we'll talk about this probably later, too. But two of my friends who are now in a constant group text, we only bonded over like this shared Facebook group that we were having individual conversations about. And we joined together to have a joint one. But now we share everything about our days.
That's so funny. It's just so funny how that happens. Oh, I also read that the leader of the cult, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh or Rajneeshi. Mm-hmm.
So I think Sheila is the real winner.
Yeah.
Here.
And she's still alive. So
she is. And I want to find her. Sheila, she's if you're listening, I would really like you to come on the podcast next week.
I'll check our geography and see if anyone in Switzerland is listening. And if so, it's probably her. I mean, what would be the chances?
I'm positive that it is.
But apparently, you know, he rebranded himself after that whole scandal as OSHA.
OSHA.
And mm-hmm. people still like share, you know, like back when Pinterest was in its heyday and stuff now, mm-hmm. like people still share like quotes being like, you know, something super profound. And they don't know that they're sharing quotes from a former cult leader because he's rebranded.
Interestingly, a blogger that I follow did share an OSHA quote last week or the week before, and I didn't know. And I read it was something like every time a child is born, so is a mother, like something very lovely.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was like, read that. Oh,
I love this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, OSHA, nope,
red
not
alert.
Resharing, not liking, get out of here.
Yeah, that's so interesting because that's
but
true. But
it
you
is,
said
but
it.
Once you. Right. Once you know there, once you are branded as a cult leader, you probably cannot also become an inspirational figure.
Right.
Which is really too bad.
I know. It would be hilarious if you hadn't realized that till after you had like commissioned
shared
someone
it.
To like letter it for you on like a wall plaque.
Gosh.
Or something.
Yeah. And I like suddenly started only wearing sunset colors and people were like, why are you doing this? And I don't know. I just like it.
I like these colors bring out my skin, obviously.
And then I named my next child Sheila.
Yeah.
if you don't have any idea what we're talking about, go immediately to Netflix and look up Wild Wild Country.
Put your glasses on. The font is nuts and you read a lot.
You read a whole lot and you have to like Oregon.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Other than that, you're gold.
Sleep was episode 3.
Don't remember it. Too tired.
Yeah, weird. And maybe we need to go back and listen to that episode ourselves. we changed up our morning routine from the last few weeks when we're talking about.
Oh, in what way? And has it been a beneficial change?
Well, we like change in general. We're constantly trying new things and moving stuff around, like schedules, furniture.
Sure.
And now before I was handling mornings during the week and Pasan was handling mornings during the weekend, which to be fair, our weekend was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not like 5 and 2. It was 4 and 3. Okay. Now we're kind of evening it out. We both wake up early and then I write while he handles mornings with the kids because he gets back a little later. So I'm typically handling dinner and bedtime and all of that. And then the weekends we kind of just switch off. But now the kids are getting old enough where we can kind of, if we plan ahead, we can, like, when they wake up, just put something easy like cereal or something for breakfast and then like put on Saturday morning cartoons.
Ooh, nice.
So that feels like a milestone that we're
at. That's great. We have kind of settled in. My youngest is almost 6 months old and she actually has a great sleep routine right now. My oldest still comes into bed with us at some point during the early mornings or sometime. I have also developed the good or bad habit, it depends on the day, of letting her just watch TV because I have found that her body is telling her to wake up at a certain time, but really her mind and her emotions are not quite there yet.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't mind being soft on my rules about screen time because we call it hatching in our house. So it's like you really just need some time to hatch a little bit.
Oh, that's
and
so funny.
She'll hatching. Do that by snuggling with us in bed and watching TV. And it is a really nice way actually for us to wake up as well because it's like she'll give us like 40 minutes or so where she'll watch something while we are awake, but kind of snuggling, and it's like a nice ease into the day. She's our alarm clock.
What time does she come in the morning, would you say? What time is she waking up?
Well, I would say she's like up for the day and starts watching a show around 6 something.
Mm, yikes. Yeah.
Not late. Never later than like 6:40.
Yeah.
But she comes into our bed. It can be anywhere from like 1 in the morning till she actually wakes up for the day. We never really know. And her reasoning for coming in is always different. Like this morning, it was because she heard strange noises outside of her room that sounded like grr.
Oh, cool. That's not.
Which who am I to judge?
Scary
I don't
at
know.
All.
No, one the night before was because she had a bad dream about hedgehogs attacking your house. So you're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for warning us.
Yeah. Watch out for hedgehogs. But I do feel like we're kind of in an actual routine now, which when we recorded that one, we were not in a routine. But interestingly, last night I was reading a library book still from my marathon holds and I'm currently overdue on. And accidentally, I checked out a large print book.
Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
I will never not do that because that is very pleasing to the eye.
It is. I like, do always make my Kindle font bigger. Pasan's always like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, my eyes aren't strained at all. Nothing's wrong with me.
Well, I saved it to the last book from my 12 holds. And I was like, why is this book so thick? Well, it's because there are like 3 words per page and I love it. But he was saying that he had observed the last few nights that I had been reading. And literally when I closed my book, I fell asleep. There was no in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been finding the value that I sleep harder when I fall asleep reading. That it's not screens. It's nothing. Like I'll read until my eyes cannot stay open anymore.
I find the same thing, which is intuitive, you know, like obviously we shouldn't do screens, but like I go through some phases where I'm like, I just want to like get in bed and watch like Psych, which we love, or something like that. But now lately I've just been wanting to like read a book and it's been that same thing.
Yeah. Some nights I'll just stay up watching Insta stories and when I stop, I feel more wired and I'm like, no, this blue light concept about how blue light keeps you awake is totally a
that's
hoax.
Really weird that everyone keeps saying that. And on another note, everyone please stop posting crazy Insta stories at nighttime. It's really upsetting me.
Yeah. Don't save your best content for night.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to read my large format books.
That's true. I did turn off, our next topic is social media, so this kind of feeds right into that. I did turn off my screen time alert, or no, my screen time lock.
Like
what did I tell you that it does?
Your timer?
Yes, thank you,
like
the timer.
Your allowance?
Yes. I had it for 30 minutes a day, and I turned it off, because for a couple weeks it felt like I kept, for different reasons, like needing to check in, because I don't like feeling like if we upload something to our Instagram, I'm not like checking in if someone says something, you know what I mean? Like I didn't like feeling totally checked out, but now, And I was like, all right, I need to be like a little bit more able to be plugged in. And then now I'm back to like, no, I need to put the timer back on. It's kind of crazy. The up and down. Like now I feel like I've slipped into using it more.
Oh, that's interesting that you feel like you actually do use it. I started checking the screen time feature after we talked and feel horrible about myself.
Sure.
So thanks insecurities episode. I was floored because I really do feel like I stay off of it a lot.
Right. It racks up like just a couple minutes here and there really racks up.
But I also feel like, okay, I guess eye opening to know on one hand, but I really do not need one more thing to worry about in my life. So while it's a helpful feature, I'm pretty sure I'm going to turn it off because I don't need something else to feel guilty about.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I don't take it as a guilt thing for me. So I think that's why I take it as more like, oh, okay, data. That was last week. Yeah, like more like data. And I'm like, how am I going to process this? Like I was saying, like maybe 2 weeks ago or so, I was like, all right, well, I'm fine with this because most of my interaction has been logging back in just to see what's been going on with people that we've interacted with. But now I feel like I'm like, oh, well, now I'm going, because for me, like most of my, like you were saying anyway, most of your like phone usage was texting. But for me, it wasn't that. It was like a lot of, like Instagram specifically was one that I need to like cut down on.
Well, I will not tell you how much I've been using, but every week it's been like, oh, you're down 6% from last week. So I'm like, oh, that's positive. But then I look at the total and I'm like, that is still disgusting. So doesn't make me feel better.
Yeah. Well, progress is progress. Also about social media, Facebook filed a patent this week or last week to predict where you're going next.
What?
Isn't that nuts? Like based on every piece of data it gets about you, your history, the history, like the data from people you know, it wants to be able to know where you're going next. And they're like, we don't use everything we file a patent for. There's no need to get I'm like, Facebook. And
okay, sounds like a real Zuckerberg statement to
me. You people really Zuckerberged this one. And
yes.
Sheryl Sandberg has turned out to be a kind of sketchy, which is disappointing to me personally. I know she's really concerned with my thoughts, but
I bet she is. Send her a letter.
Yeah. A letter. Yeah, exactly. It's not just that they're profiting. It's that we don't know what they could do with these mountains of data and the technology they're accumulating. That's like what
I'm
freaks
like,
me out.
As long as you say my name, I don't care. I'm freaked out by nothing. Just say it's me. And choose a flattering picture that doesn't show all of my chins, just one. My question for you that I didn't ask you last time is, how quick are you to get on a bandwagon of a new social media? For example, did you ever use Snapchat? And if you did, were you slow to use Insta stories instead of Snapchat?
That's a good question. I did use Snapchat. I was very, very late. The youths beat me there by probably years.
Okay.
Yeah, for a little while, I think I kind of use it a little bit more, but then I just filter down and I'm like, I could just be texting.
Oh, well.
We're using the myriad other options of technology, and now we use this app called Marco Polo.
Oh, the teens love that too, I hear.
What? I didn't take me as long as it has other things, I think, because I was just like, oh, thank God, can we all just do this instead of Snapchat now?
Well, I mentally was like, I will never use Insta stories. I like Snapchat. I was slow on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Then here's the deal. I'm a slow adopter, but once I do, I will be loyal
You're
to
in
you.
It.
Yes. And so I don't like new apps that I have to learn, though I do it for work. I don't like it. And I do not like when things change. So I used Snapchat until it was very clear that no one else was. And I've recently deleted it. But sometimes I reinstall it to see if anyone sent me anything. And by that, I mean like our teenage babysitter.
Things of your kids.
Yeah. Thanks, Maylee, for posting. Yes. Stories of my children that I watch.
Yeah.
And dang, are they cute.
Yeah. They're freaking adorable. I think I am a slow adopter, though, actually. Pretty slow.
But yeah, then I will be a huge user of it, but I just don't like to learn new things.
Yeah, I guess I feel like I am social media'd out. I'm feeling like I'm moving into that adult stage of life where it's like soon I'm going to be the person that doesn't know how to use stuff anymore and is embarrassing their kids. I might be there now.
Well, my grandmother just got an iPhone. And she inherited it from my great aunt who'd passed away. And
which is hilarious. Sorry.
Yes.
To your family.
May you
rest
in peace, Aunt Diane. But she texts me all the time and it's so great. But one thing that it made me realize about social media. So my great aunt who is no longer with us, had gotten an iPhone and a computer from the VA or something. And she was on Facebook, and my grandmother is decidedly non-technical until recently. But apparently my great aunt like lived for seeing pictures on Facebook, and it made her day to be able to show my grandmother, because like I would call in pictures to my grandmother's local Target for her to go pick up.
Oh, that's
for
hilarious.
Pictures of our family.
Yeah.
But when she would go for her daily visits, my great aunt would love to show her. So I was like, okay, there's something like very heartwarming.
Yes.
About social media. Like she loved that.
There is a lot of good it can do and does. There's no doubt about it. It's just such a, there's no oversight. There's not enough oversight.
Well, I got, I went on a date with our nanny, who I call more than a nanny because she just is for us, last week. And she has 6 kids. And I was asking her, like, how do you navigate screens? And she was like, just don't do them because it's impossible to get it back. Which I did appreciate because her kids are older than ours. And I do think that it's such a hard thing to parent later.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but kids like need, like, for instance, for my family, I remember I got my first phone when I was 16. Flip phone.
Me too.
Loved it. It was super cool.
Same. I got a pink chocolate phone.
Oh, fancy.
It's a slider.
That is real cool. My youngest brother is younger than us. My other brother and I by 5 and 8 years. And my parents were like, well, do you guys, is it like, we feel like we just need to get him a phone. We don't want you guys to feel like we're treating him differently. And we're like, oh, what?
Oh, right.
I mean, we definitely... did still make it sound like we're really upset, because that's what we do, but
well, you have to. Parents need to know.
Yeah. So he got a phone when he was 13, because they were like, well, he's always like doing like sports and stuff with school, so like when they're at like away games, they wanted him to be able to have a way to reach them. And this was like, how old, my brother's 21 now, so whenever he was 13, that many years ago. So I can imagine now, like, as much as I'm like, no, you don't need a phone till you're 25 years old, like,
yeah,
when he's in public school next year, I am gonna like want him to be able to reach me whenever, because look what happens in schools.
We had an incident, we've talked about it before, in our neighborhood high school a few weeks ago, and one of my mini bosses has a daughter that goes to that school, and the daughter was texting her during it to let her know. And
I
think,
I don't
about
know if I knew that.
Yeah, she you know, it was just very comforting, also very scary at both the same time, that the daughter was texting her during. So, you know, there was just information coming from so many different places, but to be able to have that direct line of communication.
Right.
But those events don't just happen, very sadly, at high schools. Well, it's
exactly.
Tragic they happen anywhere.
Sure.
But I don't want my kids to have phones. However, if God forbid we were ever in that situation, I know that I would want them to have access to anyone.
Right.
Including like a direct line to let me know they were okay.
Exactly. Exactly. That's such a tough line to toe, because it's like,
yeah,
I truly believe that they shouldn't have access to the internet, social media, and all of that at like such a young age. But like, what's the other option? They can't ever call us if they need us. Like, I don't
know. A jitterbug.
Yeah.
A jitterbug phone.
An implant in their body.
Well, you know, a jitterbug phone is much like a large print library book.
Yeah.
It gets you what you need. You will love it. Just give it a chance.
I don't know if they will love it. I mean, we as parents will love it.
Hannah and I talked, spoiler alert, we are going to have either a new segment or a new podcast called I'll Probably Hate It.
Yeah. I'm probably going to hate that.
I'm probably going to hate that, in which we'll try things that we're probably going to hate. But guess what? We're going to love it. And I think Jitterbug is at the top of that list.
Yeah. Moving along to our episode on mental load, episode 5.
Boy, was that timely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just funny. Once we like release that episode, it just got me thinking more. And I think people have talked to us more as well and said like, oh, well, we started talking about it more. It's almost like it just, I don't know. Sometimes you just need someone to say a word. You know, so that you can.
Yeah, I would say hands down, that is one of our largest feedback episodes. And I'm glad of all the ones that we've recorded. I wanted to start some dialogue about that.
Mm-hmm.
Our listener, Natalie, let us know that it started a really good conversation with she and her husband.
Right. I loved that. Yeah.
Yeah. And interestingly, David, my husband, listened to it, and he came home one night. He listens, as we mostly do, on a commute to and from work. And he came home and he said, I was just listening to your podcast. And I said, oh, what did you think? And he said, it was really hard for me to listen to. And I was worried that he was going to be kind of defensive.
Right.
It was really hard for me to listen to because you made it sound like I don't support you, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I make sure not to make it sound like that, but he said it was hard to listen to just hearing what it is that you go through in a day.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated him for hearing it in that way. Yeah, so thank you, David.
Yeah, I appreciate that too. That was cool.
Thank you, David. I love you. But two, it also kind of made me feel like, well, that was just for an hour recording. Like, let's sit down and talk about like what's happened morning. Since then, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's a fine line to walk with mental load of sharing the realities, but also realizing there's even more than what you're even aware of.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really a personalized conversation. Like what David would need to say to you to make you feel like, okay, I'm heard and listened to would be very different than what like Passan would need to say to me and what anyone else who's feeling like they have a lot of mental load or you know, like needs to hear and say. So I don't know, just a conversation in general. Like that's all we ever want to do is start a conversation. And I was glad to hear that we are doing that.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that it's made me think about is, well, I don't think I know. Today was a great example. The last couple of weeks, I mean, when we're recording this, it is almost Christmas. It's a week from Christmas Eve. Also, it is my oldest birthday tomorrow at the time of this recording. So happy birthday, Nora Beth, a week ago when you hear this. But we have been planning a party and also Christmas things and also work things before there's a Christmas break and, you know, whatever. Today I was driving in the car and just thinking about how overwhelmed I felt, which I realized that even just boiling that down to birthday and Christmas made it sound really lame, but I actually do have a lot on my mind.
It sounded like a lot when you said it.
But I realized I don't know that I really have an outlet for all of it. And all I really wanted to do was cry. And I told you this earlier, I knew that it would be helpful, but also at this life stage, I've kind of like welded my own tear duct shut because I don't really want to cry in front of the girls for a reason that I can't explain to them.
Right.
And they are not going to understand mental load.
Right. Also, they have a ton of questions, which is good. Developmentally, they're supposed to, but it's too much.
I can't.
You've got this
Right. This is only going to add to my issue. Yeah. So I just cannot cry when I know that I should. So I like downloaded all of these songs that should elicit a lot of emotion and they were not working.
That is hilarious.
I'm in the car and I'm like, oh, there's a Taylor Swift song that is going to do it. It's going to work. And sure enough, boy, did it. We do not curse on this show, but did I have some curse words to say? But it was great because it did actually. It was like I scheduled myself time to cry. Yeah. Then I also kind of felt bad because it was like at the song, which that wasn't what the point of the song was. It was to memorialize a little boy who died. But
yeah,
it really helped with my mental load. It didn't help with my mental load, but it did help with the emotional release of it.
Well, do you think that falls into what we're going to talk about next, which is self-care in a way of like, I need to have a release this way?
Yeah, I think that's a good segue. I do, because it was like, okay, I'm clearly not going to get time for my own self between now and the end of Christmas. I mean, David and I jokingly said like, oh, it's going to be like this until after January. Right. And it was true.
And that's true for moms and dads. That's not
That's not unique. Yeah. No, that's not a unique situation. But it was interesting that it was like, okay, that's what I know that I need that. And it's really not hard for me to schedule that. I'm in the car by myself. Probably listen to my own podcast so I can cry right now.
Should we factor in a cry session here? Like, should we tell a really sad story so that in the event that when this comes out, you need this again?
Yes, thank you. Tell me the saddest thing that you know. Actually, what's your biggest regret in life?
That would make you cry.
Yeah.
Once again, Christmas Shoes. That's what you should have listened to.
No, that's the worst. That song just makes me rage because I'm sorry that you're exploiting my emotions in that way.
I know. I hate it.
Also, if your mom is about to pass away, do not be buying her shoes. Go hold her hand.
Go and hang with her, please.
Her mental load does not need that.
Yeah, exactly. Also, to clarify what I said earlier, men and women is what I meant, not just moms and dads. I was just thinking of you and David and me and Passan only.
Also, no teenagers one else who use Marco Polo.
I relate to all of you.
You have a lot on you.
I'm relevant to youths. I feel like once we finished, we wrapped up our episode from last week on self-care, we were kind of like, oh, wait, we had 1,000 other things we wanted to say.
We're going to post our text thread about that because it was like an hour of, oh, that's what we meant to record.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess just to wrap up this episode of our Things We Forgot to Say 2K18.
This is like the anti-resolutions.
Exactly.
Things we meant to do.
Exactly. I think I would like to know, other than crying in the car to Taylor Swift songs, what are you doing to fill your cup? I think we've touched on that in a couple like ways last week, but like, what are you doing for Caroline?
Silence on purpose.
I was going to say, that's not...
I got nothing for you. I would love to hear from you so I can just say me too.
Okay.
I'm really not great. I'm not great about that. Going to our insecurities episode, my mom guilt is a huge one where I feel like I can't really invest in myself or it's the bottom of the barrel. I'm not alone in that or unique in that. I went to Bath & Body Works this weekend. They were having a buy two, get two free candle sale, and that felt indulgent to me to light some candles. It immediately makes my house feel cleaner, even though laundry couch will tell a different story. It's mocking
laundry
me.
Couch.
It's a proper noun, and it's mocking me with all of the folded laundry I need to put away. Working out, we talked about.
Yeah.
The candles are a big one. And honestly, reading is huge for me.
Yeah, I agree. Reading is huge for me, too. Another thing that I came into, it's a good way to wrap up 2018. I've spent the last year indulging in skincare.
And it looks great.
Thanks. I think that one picture you posted of us recording last week's episode really showcased that.
Well, I'm dressed up for a Christmas party now, and yours is actually glowing. So if you want me to take another one, can pose for it.
Sweat, so don't worry about that. But no, I hesitate to share brands that aren't paying us to do so.
I hear you.
I really like Mario Badescu, which I think is how you say that. And here's the thing. Unless this has changed within the last year, you can go onto their website and fill out like a skincare survey and they send you like a whole regimen, like samples.
Oh, wow.
And I think you pay like a couple dollars for shipping. It might be free. But anyway, I did that and I just really liked that because it kind of kickstarted me into caring for my skin. And I die over all these memes that are like, my friend just shared this one. If you had a crush on a guy with this hairstyle and it was like Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Ugh, hated Hanson, him.
Like all of these like straight hair parted in the middle bowl cuts. Yep. Like, if you had a crush on a guy with this hairstyle, it's time for an eye cream.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, dying.
And
like,
true.
Yep. That's so true. But I've liked doing that, like kind of leaning into it because it's more mid-range prices. It's not like the super high prices that people hawk on Instagram that I can never afford. So I don't know why I still follow those people. But it still feels like a little mini spa treatment. And it kind of fills that need of, you know how we were talking about, like, I could go get a facial, which I'm like dying to do. But it's got to be like exactly the right time. Like I've got to.
Oh, for sure.
I've got to not have like a lot other things going on. Otherwise, I'm going to get home and be like hit the ground running. Whereas if it's like my nighttime skincare routine, it feels like a little mini thing. So I do that for myself. And that has really helped this year.
That's nice. I fell victim to an Instagram influencer and bought rosehip oil on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
It was only $12 and I love it. I have no idea if it's doing anything for me, but it makes me feel rich and fancy.
Yes, I use that, too. I get it from that company Deciem. DCM.
I know it.
It is run by this guy who's quirky. Like, he's such a character.
I'm already into
on
it.
On Instagram.
But okay, well, I use
Radha.
Real
cheap.
Okay, Radha is R-A-D-H-A. Truly because of a local influencer, actually. And
oh, that's
her
cool.
Skin, yeah, her skin looks fantastic. I'm convinced that mine also does now, too. No one has yet complimented
nice
me
skin.
On it. Well, no one's complimented me on it, and I just assume it's because it looks so good that they are afraid to tell me.
All of you, I'm a human just like you. Please feel free to approach
yes,
me.
I have insecurities, too. Please listen to my episode about it.
But don't start a conversation with me. Start that with my friend Hannah.
Yes,
about
please
me.
Find Hannah. She'll want to tell you about her book. I just want compliments. I have fallen for so many tracks, like religious tracks. Because they'll come up to me in like the Target parking lot and be like, you look so cute today. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. And they're like, also, do you know Jesus? And I'm like, tricked again. Yes,
what a waste
I do.
Of my time. Do I even look pretty?
Yeah, but I'm afraid for you not to like me. So give me your paraphernalia. That's fine. And
by that,
I meant propaganda. That sounded like a drug pushing.
Yeah.
Jesus religion.
Exactly. But we talked about this a little bit too. Something that we wanted to bring up last week is that, for us, like my dad called me the other day and he was like, you know, I really, he was a little concerned because it sounded like I had a lot on my plate, which I do. And he was like, oh, it just sounds like you're, I think this was before November was up, so I was still doing NaNoWriMo. Okay. And he was like, I just don't want you to like overwork. You're just doing quite a lot. And I was like, you know, to be honest, like the more and more I do, like I write, like do creative writing, that really fills my cup. Like I feel more rested, you know, like I feel refilled. Trying to think of like the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I know. I think that's true. Like I left a work holiday party that I didn't want to go to because introvert, Enneagram 2 tonight. And I said, oh, I'm leaving. I'm going to go record a podcast. And it was like, oh, why are you doing that? You already have so much. And I'm like, well, no, that's the thing that fills me. Like,
right.
Yeah, I don't need to do it. But when it comes to the end of the day, I feel really recharged from that. Not like, oh,
the public
gotta go.
Needs me, though.
Yes, America will not actually be great again until they hear
spoilers.
Me.
Yeah. I don't know if any of you are still holding out for that.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet, but now it will.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But no, it really does. Our creative outlets are. Like, I have started many a monetized project thanks to creative outlets, from a jam company to a clothing line. It's all just stuff that, like, okay, this is just kind of fills my cup. And when I don't have it, I search for it anyway. So
yeah. Yeah, I think that's key. Like, self-care can be anything. Like, following your dream, or even just like delving into a new hobby. Like, it doesn't mean just like sitting down doing nothing, although sitting down doing nothing might be it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think that for me, it doesn't necessarily mean the absence of, it can be the addition of something that is fulfilling.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Also, I did notice, like, the day after we recorded that episode, Apple put together a bunch of the best self-care apps from 2018.
Of course they did, because they're listening.
Yeah, for sure they're in on this.
We're both on Macs right now, and we know that you hear us.
But they've got a lot of cool stuff there. So if you're looking for ways to kickstart, like, meditation, finding positivity, scheduling things. I downloaded one, which was not from this list, but it's like for tracking goals throughout the day.
Okay.
Because I very much work the best when I have like something to check off. So like, that's why during NaNoWriMo, I was like, oh yeah, I hit that mark that someone gave me for that day.
Well, that's 100% why I put things on my list that I inherently do. Like,
right.
Tinkle three times. Check.
Yeah,
done
check.
It.
Exactly. Like, if you can check something off, it's like, yes. So, it feels so productive. And I'm like, okay, I've actually done a lot of stuff today. So I just put stuff on, like, I'm trying to get my dog out for a walk every day.
Thank you for upsetting our apple cart when we see you doing that. And my girls need to report that you're outside. They want to be outside.
My self-care is not really working out for the
commune.
It's
my self-deprivation. I don't know what it is, but it is not others' care.
But anyway, I would love to wrap up our last episode of 2018 with it sounded like a good idea, story that I think we should just get off of our chests.
Boy, did we try. I take very much, I didn't read the article, shockingly. I just read the headline about, because I have a follow-up blog to the article I didn't read about moms are memory makers. Did you send me this? Did you tell me this?
That sounds like something I would have immediately gotten angry at.
But basically it was saying, like, one of the things that we do as moms is help make memories for our kids. Of course, again, only read the headline. Did not read that. But I was like, oh yeah, I do want to make great memories for my kids. Yeah. So I wrangled Hannah into the plan, and we went to a local lifestyle center. It's not like quite a shopping center, because people live there.
Shopping, apartments.
Mixed use center.
Medical facilities. That's where Milana Maya's doctor is.
Oh yeah, great. That's where our favorite Chick-fil-A is.
Yeah.
But we decided to go. They were hosting a weekly Meet Santa, but Anna and Elsa from Frozen were also going to be there.
Seemed too good to pass up.
And boy,
no
did we make
one
a great
would have
plan.
Blamed us.
No one would have. It was great. I picked up the girls from the nanny. Hi, Allison. I do think you listen, so I don't want to just call you the nanny. You're more than that to us. We made a plan to meet at Chipotle for dinner, and then we were going to go straight to this event.
And Chipotle worked mediocrely, I would say.
It was fine. About 2/5 of our children weren't like super into listening, but you know, like, it was almost 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, so
yeah. And luckily there was very few other people there, so when they ran around and took over the whole restaurant, it wasn't as obvious.
No, but, you know, when they passed off not listening as being friends, it was sweet, but also a little bit obnoxious.
I know. They're absurd with that. I'm like, you're freaking adorable. Of course, I'm not going to yell at you right now.
Right. And especially because it was two who don't typically play together. It was like, oh, look at you forming new friendships.
Yeah. Pulling the wool over our eyes.
Yeah. So we left there. We went to the tent that was going to house Santa, Anna, and Elsa, and boy, did the wheels fall off. It was not good. Okay, I guess, I don't even know. You don't need to know all the details other than Hannah at one point lost one of her children whose hand she was holding.
Yeah, that was upsetting. I was like, where's Milan? And my heart just jumped into my throat and I'm like, Milan, Milan. I'm like yelling. Of course, he's not even listening. And you were like, oh, you're holding his hand.
Also, he did look like a cat burglar because he was wearing like a black hoodie.
That was a dumb move on my part. I never do that. I always dress them in really bright clothes so that I can easily pick them out of a crowd. But this was a nighttime event.
There was no lighting. Granted, there was no lighting. Yeah, that was not your fault.
Yeah, but still. And it was also by a busy intersection. It was a small area. I was, it was really panicky. It was not. And there's a fountain right there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we didn't expect the water feature to be such a draw. Nora Beth, who was already feeling dicey at best that day, constantly running away.
Yeah.
I don't even think she was trying to be obstinate. I think that she was just so excited about life, which is hard. That she wanted to go see the fountain, but would like climb on the retaining wall. So it seemed as though she was going to fall in. Our younger two were kind of fighting over the one stroller seat that we had. Santa and the characters were located down beside the busy street, not up in our green area.
It took a while. Like they entered on the street and I'm like, really? You people didn't have like a tunnel entrance somewhere?
Right. Is this not Disney? Then Anna and Elsa showed up and they, it was basically like Hunger Games for moms. I mean, all the districts converged trying to get their kids' picture with Anna and Elsa, who were like squatting down at toddler eye level, but hard to see. And there was no line. It was totally a mob scene.
Luckily for me, Milan is very like, he just wants to see something. Like he did not want to like be near them. Maya, it seemed like she did want them to be in a, like to hold her, but then she didn't in the moment. And
well, I wouldn't have really like fought our way through it, except Anna Blair, who I expected to be shy, like actually wanted to hug them. But then, you know, I was fighting the 8-year-old who would not leave them alone. And I was like, do you have a mother? These fake princesses don't care.
Some kids who like somehow they're just like attached on. And I'm like, wait, what, how are your kids so, first of all, outgoing? Like, what are you doing differently? My kids would never. Like, Milan just straight up scowls at anyone who dares to, like, look at him or address him. So I don't understand what everyone else is doing differently that I could be doing. And also, is your mother somewhere having a panic attack? Like,
right. Well, or is your mom not at all self-aware that there are other children fighting for this, for this position?
Yeah.
So I got some half aid picture with them, which was fine. And then it was it was time to go. We ignored Santa. Amanda had just arrived and I was like, OK, bye. Because I could not handle it anymore.
Yeah. Well, Norbeth is already having kind of a rough night. Milan, like I said, Milan does OK in those situations because he's really like withdrawn. So he's not like a runner. Maya
The more tired Norbeth gets, the more outgoing she gets, which is very kind of annoying.
So Amanda came. Shout out to Amanda and Nick, because Nick stood in line so that, like, for all the kids to see Elsa and Anna. So, like, the kids didn't have to wait in line. So that was amazing. Not that my kids used it by the time it was up there.
Right, sure.
We stayed for a little while longer because her girls wanted to see Elsa and Anna. Maya said she did. Again, she got there and Anna was like holding her hands out and Maya was just like refusing to go near her, which is cool. I was like not pressuring her, but I'm like,
sure,
are you going to regret this? And then I'm like, all right, we got to move. There's a line. And then the second we move, she's like, I want to hold her. I'm like,
I want to hold.
So
those are called mixed signals.
Yeah, exactly. Weird that she's giving those. But we stayed for a little while longer. Milan and Amanda's daughters were on the swing. Maya, I had gone to get the stroller for her because she just wanted to be held. And I asked if she wanted the stroller and she said yes. So we walked all the way back to the car, got the stroller and came back. And then she got to a point where she was just so tired. All she wanted to do was be held. And we were both wearing like those marshmallow jackets.
Of course.
And it was, and I had the stroller and I had Milan and Amanda and Nick have three kids of their own. So I was trying to wrangle them, and we were standing, like, nearish Elsa and Anna. There's, like, a giant line behind them, or, like, going to meet them all facing us. And Maya just starts screaming, bloody murder. And I'm like, all right, we gotta go. This is it. Like,
yeah,
I'm
trying to do this.
Trying to, like, round. We're all trying to round up all the kids and walk, like, past the line. She screamed from one end of this center where Elsa and Anna were all the way to the back, and everyone in that line was just like staring at us because I just couldn't pick her up. Like, I couldn't get through the crowd. And I was like trying to push the stroller with one hand. I had to hold her hand eventually because she refused to walk. So then it was like dragging her. And she doesn't look much like me, so I think it looked like I was snatching her. And it was,
she really does not look like you, though David insists that she does, which is very sweet.
Some people say that she does, and it does make me feel good, but I don't think she does. And at first glance, I do not think people would think that this little girl with, like, black hair, dark brown eyes, and way darker skin than mine, like, naturally goes with me.
Looks like you, right?
And, like, oh, weird that she's also, like, screaming and trying to pull away from this adult who's
and
trying to pull
her through. And also saying, you're not
crowd.
My mommy.
I don't want to go! So, that was cool. All I could do was, like, bust out laughing, because what else can you do?
Well, you know, I was thinking earlier, unrelated to this podcast, I want to emulate you in stressful situations because I was not nearly as cool as you were during that when my kids were not cooperating so well. And you just stay so laid back and cool, and I do not. And so thank you for being my role model and how
well,
to stay very calm.
I have to say, there are different types of stressful situation. I think you would, because like they weren't, like when they're just acting out, it's like you still feel like you can talk to them.
Right.
Like, that just seems like it doesn't make sense, but it's weird when it's the older kids, because the older kids you can usually reason with. When it's a 2-year-old just screaming in public, I'm like, this is happening. There's nothing I can do about this.
Well, and I think unfortunately for both of our older kids, who I think are more mature than their age, they act like they're 12 most of the time.
Right.
So then when they do act their real age, it's almost like more of a shock.
Yeah. And we're like, what the?
Yeah. Like, you just told me that for Christmas you wanted to just be. Like, okay, so you're an old soul,
you're
but
Osho.
Then when you, you are Osho, you are Sheila and Osho together.
Yeah.
You're Sheel Show. But when you act like you are an overtired 3-year-old, it doesn't compute
then
in my
like,
brain.
Oh, nope, that doesn't work out. So anyway, that was just a night where like all I could do was, and it was also funny too, because Amanda was laughing at me and recording it. So maybe we'll have to share that.
Share that. We definitely should share that. And this is a good reminder. I have 3 different Christmas memory making activities on the docket this week. I'm sure that I will take to Instagram with at least one of them, because this is a good reminder to temper my expectations, because boy, did I have high ones for that night.
I know. That one felt really like a big win, and I felt like I was doing a good thing. And then I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Never going to do it again, ever.
Anyway, well, we hope you had a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy New Year. I don't think we'll be back till after New Year.
Yeah, Happy Early New Year.
Or as Anna Blair says, Happy Doo-Doo. That's for any holiday that there is.
That's freaking adorable. Of course she does. And let us know how you're celebrating, or actually this makes more sense. Let us know. What was your favorite episode so far? And if you've started any conversations with anyone based on them.
Yeah, we would love that. And definitely follow along at A Good Idea Pod. That's what all the cool kids are doing. And we are fully inclusive, so you can always sit at our lunch table.
Yes, definitely. And we will see you next week in a new year.
Yay. Talk to you later.